The stories of true con men, the elegant artists of persuasion and exploiters of trust, Bernie Madoffs, the Jim Bakers, the Lance Armstrongs, hold a deep fascination for the human mind. There is a beauty of the great confidence artists. They are truly artists, able to affect even the most discerning connoisseurs with their persuasive charm. Maria Konnikova writes about them in her new book, The Confidence Game, Why We Fall For It Every Time. She is a New Yorker contributor and the best-selling author of Mastermind, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Maria Konnikova to the roundtable this morning. Maria, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Joe.
Very nice to have you on the program. What led you to this particular subject, to look at those who are con men and artists of persuasion and ultimately exploiters?
Well, in two words, David Mamet. I became obsessed with his film, The House of Games, and I really could identify with the protagonist because, you know, she's a woman in her 30s, psychology PhD, wrote a book that did very well, made money off of it, and ended up losing all of it to this very intricate long con, even though she was so sophisticated, so smart, thought she knew exactly what she was getting into. And when I watched that movie, I thought, well, how does that happen? How do people who are that with it, that intelligent, why do they fall for it? So I tried finding the book that would answer that question, and it didn't exist.
And you make the point in the book that your fascination has to do more with the victim than it does with the con artist himself.
Yes, I think that's absolutely right. Because, I mean, the con artists are totally fascinating in their own right. And what they do is quite intriguing. And they're all these very colorful, often flamboyant characters. But to me, the more intriguing question is, well, what is it about us, about the population at large, that makes us such good targets? Why are con artists able to proliferate and to operate on the scale that they do?
Okay, so what do we know about the ingredients that are inherent to con artists? What do they have in common?
Well, we know that most of them possess some or all of the so-called dark triad of traits. And what that means is some amount of narcissism. I think this one, most of them, if not all, probably have. And this is just this sense of entitlement, this feeling that you are not just the single most important person there is, but that you really, it's totally fine to take advantage of other people because you deserve it. Then there's psychopathy, or this lack of empathy, lack of emotion. So you actually don't process emotions in the way that other people do. And this makes you, once again, really able to target people without caring what you're doing to them, to their reputations, to their emotions, to their lives. And finally, we have Machiavellianism, which derives from Machiavelli's Prince, and it's the ability to persuade people to use the tools available to you to get them to do what you want them to do. So it's persuasion for your own ends, and that's what confidence artists do all the time.
And you make the point, which I think is a very interesting one, that you were always able to find exceptions to what you just mentioned.
Absolutely. So while I can give you that particular description, in my mind, it's a kind of Venn diagram. So there are people who are con artists who possess all of these things. There are con artists who possess none of them. And then there are people who possess all of these traits and never become con artists. Because I think that the crucial thing is that it's when that predisposition meets the correct opportunity. So two things have to happen. You have to have some of these things or some other things, but then you also have to be in the right place, or rather the wrong place at the right time.
Many of us will think of a con artist as a psychopath. You mention that certainly some psychopaths are con artists, mm-hmm. but most are not.
That's absolutely right. And there are so many psychopaths who you would never know are psychopaths, and in fact, some of them don't. One of the stories that I encountered as I was researching the book was a famous neuroscientist who was doing research on psychopaths and also on dementia, and he used his family's brains as control brains for the dementia subjects, and he was looking at them, and all of a sudden he saw a brain that looked like the brain of a of a psychopath, and he thought, huh, I made a mistake. So we need to figure out who this scan belongs to so that we can put it in proper order and inform the person. And it ends up he didn't make a mistake. It was his own scan. So he found out during the process of his research that he had been a psychopath all along, and he was obviously quite a productive member of society.
As I mentioned a moment ago, you have an interest almost more in the victim than you do in the con artists themselves. What is the psychological explanation that makes victims believe those who are con artists?
Well, I think there are lots of different explanations, but the thing that ties all of them together is this very deeply ingrained, I would say even hardwired, human need for belief, for narrative that makes sense of the world. We really hate to exist in a state of uncertainty, of ambiguity, and we crave meaning. We want things to make sense, and we love a world that's much more black and white than it is shades of gray, and that is precisely what con artists do. They craft narratives. They're amazing storytellers, and they're the stories we want to hear. So ultimately, they give us the meaning that we so crave. They fill a gap that all of us have. They're just experts at identifying, well, what particular gap does this particular person have, and how can I exploit it?
In the book, you write about a few people who fall for the same con twice, which is really, it's fascinating, because you think if you're burned, well, it wouldn't happen again.
Yeah, and twice is the least of it. There are people who fall for the same scam 3-4 times. I think there are two things going on. The first is that we are remarkably good at rationalization and at self-deception. So we con ourselves all the time, and we don't want to admit that we've fallen for a scam, and so we don't learn from our mistakes because we'll say, oh, that wasn't really a con. That was just a matter of bad luck. You know, the markets went against me. Or, you know, oh, this poor person, you know, he had a family emergency and had to leave, and that's why our relationship never went anywhere. So we really rationalize it away so that we don't even know that we've been had. And even if we do realize it, oftentimes our reputation prevents us from making it known. And when we don't really make it known publicly, we remain, in a sense, a target because we want to prove to ourselves, well, maybe I was a sap once, but now I really know I know what's going on.
Just that term, con artist, You make the point that artistry is very much a part of this. They are very good at their persuasive charms.
Absolutely. My favorite description of the con artist comes from the 1940 book by David Moore, The Big Con, and he calls them the aristocrats of crime. And I think that captures it beautifully because they don't resort to any sort of hard-nosed tactics. They are artists. They paint with a fine brush, and oftentimes they don't even break the law in the exact letter of the law because they are so well able to persuade us that we give them money, we give them trust, we give them whatever it is that they want, and they never steal. You know, they don't break into our house. They don't commit those types of rough crimes. And so it really is an art. They're painting, they're creating a world for your enjoyment so that you become a part of it, and lo and behold, suddenly you're that much poorer, whether it's financially or emotionally or in some other way.
I get a lot of books on my desk every day for people who want to be on the show. And what I found fascinating about your book and that what drew me in is just the title, The Confidence Game. I didn't even know that when we say con, that was from confidence. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, I actually didn't know that either until I started researching this. But it makes perfect sense once you do know
it. Sure.
Because you realize that it really is all about confidence, or rather the taking advantage of someone's confidence. We give con artists our confidence, and that's how they're able to operate. And so as soon as I found that out, I thought, oh, you know, that really explains a lot about how this works and why it works.
You spoke at the very beginning that you got interested in this from David Mamet's House of Games, and which is interesting because that was a con on just a really, really smart person. You write in the book that somebody like Al Capone got conned. That's interesting.
Yes, it's one of my favorite stories because Al Capone isn't just an intelligent person. You would think that if anyone is a good judge of nefarious characters, it
Sure.
would be Al Capone. And yet, the person who conned him, Victor Lustig, or Count Lustig as he was known, was one of the best con artists of the 20th century. I mean, he was known for his silver tongue. And the way he pulled it off was he didn't pretend not to be a con artist. You know, Capone knew his reputation. And yet, he managed to create a situation where Capone thought that he was rewarding him for being honest, where that had been the con all along.
I was in Paris, and my wife and I were walking to the Louvre, and a woman came up and said, "You dropped this ring." And she gave it to us, and I said, "Oh, that's not ours." And then suddenly you realize that you're in something. And so long story short, I ended up giving her money so she'd go away. But I felt so weird about it later on. It was a minor amount of money, which she took objection to. But I just remember that feeling that you'd been taken in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an odd feeling because we never think it's going to happen to us, that we're smarter than that. And even though I was aware at some point that I was being conned, it didn't matter. I still gave the money, and the result was the same.
Absolutely. And that happens all the time because we just want to get out of a situation. So, yes, while most con artists are really kind of aristocrats of crime and you don't even know what's happening, there are people like this woman who really just put you in a situation where you can't say no. And that's where their con lies. And that's also kind of brilliant because you're going to make a lot of people uncomfortable enough that you end up making a lot of money. But I think the point that you make, that you, even though you knew what was going on, it still kind of felt pretty crappy, even though it wasn't a lot of money. I think that's exactly right. And that captures exactly why con artists make us, basically why they're able to operate over and over, because we hate that feeling. And so if we can avoid it, if we can rationalize and say, oh, well, she really needed the money, it wasn't actually a con, here's what was going on. If we can craft a narrative where we weren't suckers, that's going to get rid of that feeling. That's going to make us feel much better about ourselves.
So at the risk of bringing the story on for too long, so I give her the money, and my wife and I, we make it across the bridge, and we go to the Louvre. I'm in the Louvre, and we go to the admission desk. I give them my credit card for the admission desk, and they tell us that our card has been closed. I now have to call my bank. My bank says that because I'm in another country, they didn't realize that, even though we told them we were leaving, they cut off my card. Then they tell me that to turn my card back on, that'll be a $5 fee. Is that not a con? I felt like I'd been conned twice.
You know, it's a thin line, as I write in the book, between a con artist and someone who's in a legitimate profession, but the techniques and the tactics that they use are remarkably similar to those of con artists. And I think that that's exactly what you experienced. And I think that that's what a lot of people would feel like in that situation. And you can often fight those types of fees for that very reason.
Yeah.
Because are they really legitimate? Well, I would say that you're right, that we are kind of starting to impinge on con artist territory.
Well, I kept on thinking of that as I was reading the book. The book is marvelous. It's really fun. It's called The Confidence Game, Why We Fall For It Every Time. It is published by Viking. Maria Konnikova, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. A great pleasure having you on the program.
Thank you so much, Joe. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, The Confidence Game by Maria Konnikova, published by Viking. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.